Hello and welcome to the Providence College Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Judge, and today I'm joined by two guests, Zach Gandara, class of 2019, a grad assistant in student affairs, and Matthew McGuane, class of 2020. These two men were founding members of the college's esports club, and if you read the fall issue of the Providence College magazine, you would have read a little background into this club sport, but we wanted to go a little deeper today. So, Matt, you are described as the social one, the organizer, and the welcome man. So let's start with you. Can you give us a little background on the history of the esports club slash team and how it was formed?
Yeah, absolutely. So my freshman year, I remember just being like, hey, I want to make a club. I went to Dean Sears probably in like January or so. Mentioned it, pitched it. He thought it was a good idea, but he wanted me to jump through like the normal hoops of, you know, setting up a club and whatnot. And I had already met Zach at that point, and we hadn't really done anything serious yet, but we did have like interest in our friend groups and stuff like that. So later on in the year, I saw this poster of somebody doing like a League of Legends watch party, and I was like, oh no, somebody stole my club. Like, and come to find out, a current grad assistant at the time, Aaron, was approached by Christine Goodwin and also Dean Sears to like start this club up. So I went to it and I talked to Aaron and I was like, Aaron, let's do this, let's make this club, let's make it happen. So from there, it was pretty much, it went from like just kind of like a pipe dream my freshman year, first semester, where we're like, oh, that'd be cool if we could bring computers to like a room or something and play together, to the school wants to support it and we need to show student interests, which was probably like my sophomore year, my junior year, for half of my junior year. We were like just pushing, trying to get people to join the group chat, trying to show the school that like, yeah, there's a lot of people who want to do it. And I remember doing stuff like I would go up to people in like the library who had gaming laptops and I'd be like, I know what that is. Do you want to join a club? And I would get them into the group chat and stuff like that. So it was like a lot of just getting people together and like showing interest to the school for a few years, and then the school took the shot on it and made the room.
Yeah, Matt was definitely the lead man on getting as many people together, and I came in more on the business side when people started talking about, well, where are we going to put this, how much money is it going to be. So I started going to those meetings with our CFO John and a few other people, and started, you know, giving them the facts of, well, when the LCS sold out and had more viewers than the entirety of the MLB finals, NHL finals, and NBA finals that year, you know, this is the way that media is progressing. And so I came in with the facts.
And the LCS, for those who aren't familiar?
The LCS is the League Championship Series. It's basically the pro scene for League of Legends.
So let's talk about this room that you guys have. I mean, every other sport on campus has a place to go practice, go work out, go lift weights. You guys were setting up in, or at least had a tournament in the Ruane Center in one of the classrooms, and Paul Fontaine was nice enough one day to stop by, saw you guys were competing, and went and got you a bunch of pizzas, I remember.
That's nice.
And so you guys were just trying to set up shop wherever you could, and then found a way to make your case and found a place in Slavin. So let's talk about how that came to be.
Sure. So that kept getting pushed back and pushed back, as everything in higher education tends to. But we've been talking about it, and we were trying to figure out a budget and everything. And so finally, we all went to one big meeting with, you know, each of the VPs and the CFO, Paul Fontaine, and bunch of people.
And Paul Fontaine is the head of IT here at PC.
Right. And basically we just came in and said, we have this many students that are already doing this in their dorm rooms. People that would not be social if it weren't for it. And so we convinced the school that this many people would be better in a visible place where they can actually be social with each other and develop, you know, real relationships, not just online personas. And so they saw that and really appreciated the number of students that were interested.
And it's something that's getting more popular in colleges and universities across the country. I mean, we've seen that over 150 schools are giving out scholarships or have teams already. So it was something that was coming, and then the Big East decided to start basically the conference for esports. So how did you guys get involved with the Big East? And you're not quite in athletics, but you still compete against teams that all of our other sports compete against.
So that was also part of us starting from the very beginning. Like, we were told there are other schools interested in this, and like, we need to, you know, be an early mover in terms of starting our own program. So it kind of always had this context of we will eventually compete against other schools as soon as like other schools make their own programs. So I would say it was just kind of a natural progression from like starting to, like, you build this program and you have a club where people play. So obviously they're going to need people to play against. Right. So
a big factor in why it got off the ground at PC is because the Big East had developed an interest in it. And, you know, when the Big East develops an interest in it, so do the schools. So now I'm on the Big East Board of Esports as PC's representative. And it's interesting how we really started in a, everybody's playing in their random classroom. But now the Big East is really taking it seriously. And we've got sponsors, and we're trying our best. We're working with a few different organizations, including the Esports League, ESL, and the Electronic Gaming Federation, EGF, to continue to have seasons and tournaments that each time we do it are getting better. We didn't know what we were doing when we started, but luckily we've got some good people pushing to make it better each semester.
And also, like our other athletic teams, we are in multiple conferences. We are in Big East, but we're also in the ECAC and have other tournaments and organizations that we compete against. Let's talk about the success that this program has had in its short run. We were talking before we started, and we have a couple championship trophies already in the window at the esports room. So let's, how did that come about?
So we have a couple players who are extremely gifted, and that's true in every game. Like, there's one or two that kind of stand out as very high ranked, but we got very fortunate with one game in particular in Hearthstone. We had like two people that were, I don't know if it's Grandmaster
Legend.
Or Legend. So what Legend means is you're ranked in the North American server, so you are like one of the top 200, and our best player was 7th. So that's
that
everyone. Yeah,
that's like getting LeBron James in the
exactly.
Draft.
Right. It really is. Yeah,
he actually got points towards the Hearthstone Pro Tour by doing that.
Yeah,
so.
It was crazy.
Didn't go pro, so we didn't get to violate any rules there.
And so Hearthstone, for those that don't know, is it's virtual Magic the Gathering, like the card game that's been out for 30 years or whatever it's been, where people would be trading cards and winning cards from each other back when I was in middle school and high school. It's now kind of a virtual game in Hearthstone, and it's all about the math and the cards and
memorizing exactly what your opponent could do on any given turn. It's more like a chess game than any other game, to be honest.
It's true.
And so that's one of the games we compete in. Can we go through some of the other games that we compete in? I kind of equate esports in a way to like gymnastics or track and field, where you've got this broad category, but there's all these individual games and contests.
That's a great way.
Inside of it. So let's talk about some of those games that we compete in, whether in the Big East or the other conferences.
So right now, Hearthstone is our best game. And then from that, we also compete in the League of Legends. The Rocket League, which is basically car soccer, but pretty fun to watch, and as well as Super Smash Brothers and NBA 2K in the Big East. And then once we switch over to the ECAC, there's a few other games. We're playing Overwatch, as well as Hearthstone and Fortnite. Those are the only three that we're competing in the ECAC right now. We had dabbled in a few others, but our teams were, you know, not very competitive and at the same time not very devoted, so they didn't really want to continue it after getting trounced that first time. So those are the three that we're putting our efforts into right now.
So Overwatch is, we'll go through these games for people who at home who might not be in the know. Overwatch is a team of heroes who all have different abilities and complement each other. And it's meant to, and there are different objective type games. The abilities go from guys who have power to take someone out to people who support and can heal and to scout. Can you elaborate on
that? There's flying monkeys in the game. It's kind of a cartoon great time. So it really is like basketball where there's different positions and certain people have to fulfill different roles. So we've got the support players who are making sure your teammates are capable of doing what their jobs are, and then those who are attacking and defending, and with the goal being similar to capture the flag, the attackers are obviously trying to dominate a point, more King of the Hill style, and your supporters are making sure that they're capable of doing that with different buffs and making sure their health doesn't decrease.
We mentioned Rocket League before. It's car soccer. Right. Probably the easiest game for anyone to watch online.
Yes, absolutely.
When you watch Overwatch or League of Legends and you don't know what's going on, it's...
It looks like a fireworks show.
Yeah.
Exactly. But Rocket League, for anyone who wants to check out the Twitch scene, which is a website that people stream on, it's the most popular one out there. Rocket League probably is the easiest one for anyone to get into that isn't one of the normal or so-called normal sports like Madden or MLB or NBA 2K, where you obviously know what's going on in those games.
Yeah.
League of Legends.
Yeah.
That, when I look at League of Legends, and I consider myself somewhat a video game fan, I am baffled by this game that is free to play, but is wild. Can you tell me more about League of Legends?
Matt is on our competitive team for League of Legends, so he can definitely explain that better.
The top laner for it. So don't worry, half the people playing it are in the same situation as you. It's an entertaining time. So League of Legends is... it's a little difficult to describe because it's as close to chess but in real time as possible in terms of there's a board, which is a map, and it's got these objectives on it. And assuming you have like two evenly skilled teams, you're basically trying to do something while the other person does something else. So that sounds really complicated, but like basic premise is there's three lanes, five people play. Two people go bot, one person jumps from lane to lane, and two people are in the solo lanes. And you're trying to destroy the other team's towers and destroy their core before they destroy yours, destroy the Nexus.
Layman's description of that is,
I don't know how to
again, a big
it.
Capture the flag where there's two bases on either ends of the map, and you're defending one, the other team's defending theirs, at the same time trying to take out yours, and you're trying to take theirs.
So we should get back to mentioning the room is in Slaven Center.
Yes.
And there is a few reasons for that placement. So why did we decide to put it
The school
in that
really wanted this to be visible. They didn't want to say, these are the nerds, the gamers that are just hiding in their rooms, right? So they built the room so that we could come together, and they didn't want to put us in a basement someplace. They wanted us to be visible. They wanted it to be something that the school can be proud of. We are good at it. When people come on tours, they stop by the room every time. Doesn't matter whether they're interested or not. Like, what is this? Everybody plays a video game in some extent, whether it's on their phone or if it's, you know, NHL on their Xbox. Everybody plays something. And anybody that's a student is welcome to come in and play anything. So the idea is when it's a big open house and there's all these prospective students here, we've got a game going on. We've got the doors open. It's just glass windows. You can see everything. We've got it up on the big TV so anybody can watch it. There's something special about hearing a team cheer together. It doesn't matter if it's basketball after shooting a three. Doesn't matter if it's hockey after getting that goal in overtime. If you hear an entire team jump up and down and start slapping their hands together, you're going to be excited for them. And it just goes to show that PC's proud of everything their students do, not just the really, really big media things.
And it's right across the hall from WDOM and PCTV, long established club media clubs on campus. So it's something that needs to be shown off.
Yeah, it fits right in there. Some of the other places they wanted to put it, like, I remember at one point the Fennel Lounge was like discussed, and I was like, that's just the polar opposite.
That was
of what
actually
you
my
do.
Idea at first, because I thought that place was giant and nobody uses it. Yeah. However, I realize now that would have been a terrible idea.
I'm glad you said that everyone plays games. Like, my something-year-old mother plays Bejeweled or Candy Crush, like, every day. You'll see her on her phone watching TV at night playing these games. And it could be that game. It could be Minecraft. Everyone at this point is playing games in an industry that is larger than movies and music combined. It's fascinating how far it's come from. I mean, me and my buddies playing in the dorm rooms 20 years ago on Xbox and PS2 to where we are now, that we've got a place in Slavin Center that people can go play.
Right. Yeah. And because of that, we've got a couple different levels of structure to the club. So it starts on just like the club intramural level where anybody can come in. The great example of that would be this Sunday we're having a Smash Brothers tournament for just the student body. Anybody can come. Doesn't matter if you're in the club or not. That's the intramural level. You can come. You can have fun. You can play. We're going to have food for you guys. But after that, the club level are the people that have their cards encoded to the room. They can come in. They play whatever they want. Just a space for people to come together and do what they enjoy doing. And then after that, there's the competing teams, which we've listed some of those games. And they have dedicated practice times. They are coming in there at least once a week for a real game against a real school. And they're really putting a lot of time and effort into it.
So we talked a lot about what's going on in gaming here at PC Now. I want to know how you guys got involved in video games as kids. So, Matt, how about you go first? And what was your earliest memories of games?
My earliest memory of games was definitely, I was probably like 5 or 6 years old. And back then, people, like, they came over to play and stuff. So I have older siblings who are, like, 10 years older than me. At that time, Halo was huge. So I was 5 or 6 years old. My parents were trying to keep me away from the scary, violent games.
God, I was in college when he was doing this.
And my brothers are sitting there having, they call them LAN parties. You get pizza, you have friends over, they all sleep over. There's, like, 16 high school guys, and I'm, like, the little kid looking up to them, and I'm like, I want to play with them. So that's why Halo's definitely got a special spot in my heart. And from there, it just was always something that I loved doing. Pretty sure I was afraid of the dark because of the flood when I was growing up. So from there, it was always a passion. Like, I had always played it through high school, through middle school. It was always something that just helped you, like, when you're bored, when you're stressed, whatever, you go play a game. I started to get competitive with a game called Heroes of the Storm, probably in like my junior year of high school, and that game eventually died out, so I moved over to League of Legends, and that's how I like got into MOBAs. It was a more casual, definitely better MOBA.
And that's massively online battle arena?
No, a multiplayer online battle arena, okay. So yeah.
Close enough.
Yeah.
So Zach, how about you?
Yeah, so around 6 as well, I got a Game Boy Advance. And got Pokemon Crystal. So that was what got me into video games. And I played a few PC games, played a few Xbox games. Never really, really into it, but I always enjoyed it. And then my senior year of high school, Hearthstone came out on my phone. And we had a friend that was playing it on his iPad all the time. We made fun of him. He was like, just download it already. So we all downloaded it and played it together at lunch for, you know, the rest of that year. And we had a good time with that. And so that's what got me into the competitive kind of aspect. And when I came to college, I was playing Hearthstone mostly, and it evolved into other things, Overwatch, Counter-Strike, and the current Hearthstone team that has won those titles and is still competing started playing in my dorm room because I had the PC that was fully built, and so they would come over every Tuesday and play their match in my room. And I was on the team for a year, and then I was like, okay, I'm not good enough for these guys. These guys are so much better than me. But so humble beginnings, but...
So what brought you guys to PC? Obviously, it's not we don't really have a game development strength. We have a computer science major, of course, but games is not a particular specialty. So what brought you guys here to come to school here?
I was a complete shot in the dark. I had probably like 10 or 12 places I applied to. I picked one. I was going to DC. It was for Catholic U. And then the day after, like, the deposit day, I got into PC off the wait list, like, May 2nd. I was like, I want to go to PC. And my parents were like, all right, good. We don't got to go down to DC to visit you. So complete shot in the dark.
Zach, what brought you to PC?
My grandfather and my mother went to PC. And so it's always been a part of my, you know, life. We'd come up here, visit family, and just stop by the school. So I've always had a PC sweatshirt on. But no, I was a humanities major. I really didn't have anything to do with video games in what I wanted to do. But no, it's just a great family atmosphere. And the first time I visited, like genuinely thinking about coming here, I noticed that everybody held the door and was just super nice. And I was like, this is the place I want to be.
So Matt, you're a senior. Yeah. Do you have any idea what you're doing in 4 months, 3 months from now? Not to rub it in.
I do, actually. I got hired by Fidelity at the end of the summer, so I've known all senior year. I could just chill and not too much. I'm going down to Raleigh. I'm going to be a software engineer for them.
Great. Zach, you're got one more year of your graduate assistantship here.
Yes.
Do you have any – what are your goals coming up?
I'm going to be getting my master's in higher education, and then after that, you know, I'm just trying to build my resume right now and maybe be working in film or video production in some way, most likely.
Great. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on. I think we got a lot in this 20 minutes of talking about video games, which, as people probably can hear, my voice is somewhat of a passion of mine and basically my main hobby when I'm not working at PC. So thank you guys for coming on.
Yeah,
of course. Thank you.
And to our listeners, I want to direct you to the fall issue, fall 2019 issue of the Providence College Magazine that you may have lying around on a coffee table, or maybe it's already in the recycle bin. But you can go to news.providence.edu/magazine to read more about the esports team, a few alumni profiles, including Jack Tretton, who was actually the president of PlayStation from 1995 through the launch of PS4, and it is a huge selling console now, about the fourth best selling console of all time, and he got that off the ground competing against Microsoft. And it's a really interesting story about where he is now. We also have a story of a writer at Nintendo and someone at Discord, which is a really popular communication tool for gamers. It's a text chat and voice chat and video chat. And so check that out if you want to learn more about esports. And please follow the Providence College podcast wherever you subscribe, if it's Spotify or iTunes, or if you have an Android. We're everywhere you can find a podcast. So please rate, review, subscribe. And always remember, go Friars.